Hey friends, welcome to Boldly You, the podcast for inspiring stories which consist of daring choices and transformative journeys. From entrepreneurs to everyday heroes, we are exploring the messy and motivating sides of making big changes. Whether it's a career leap or something deep, Boldly You is your go-to for living life unapologetically bold. Now, let's get right into it. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Boldly You podcast. I am your host, Destiny Mackey, and today it's just me. I'm going solo again, and I have a really good episode lined up for you today because this has been a topic that I've been thinking about, quite honestly, for a long time. And I know that it is a topic that everybody, and I mean everybody, can relate to on some level. And we're just going to dive right into it. Everybody right now feels like they are struggling. They are struggling financially to get by, to pay their bills, to pay student loans, to buy a house. There are so many issues around money right now. And I know one of the common things that you hear people say all the time is, if I had X amount of dollars, I would be significantly happier. Or if I had $1 million, like, I would never complain again and I would be the happiest person in the world. And personally, I am also guilty of saying these things in the past. I truly believed that money brought happiness. But I'm here to burst your bubble. If that is something that you firmly believe, I'm here to tell you that money certainly does not buy happiness, at least not long term. And I'm going to explain why I think this. I want to share with you my own experience regarding money, and I'm going to help you understand my perspective on why I firmly believe money does not bring happiness. So I have a bad habit of saying I grew up poor, but really I grew up working class, and I would say I was probably more on the lower side of the working class. So no, we weren't totally in poverty, but we had to do quite a bit in order to get by, and it was really hard to get by as is with the income that my mom was bringing in. And, you know, it is the level of low income where if you run out of food in your house, or if you have very little food in your house, you have to set a deadline for a certain day, maybe next week or in 2 weeks, where you have to wait until that date to go food shopping again. Like, there was no ifs, ands, or buts. Like, that was what had to happen. We couldn't just go to the store whenever we started running out of food. We had to make what we had last. And so I was the girl that was eating ketchup sandwiches or just sandwiches with peanut butter on them. And really just the very bare minimum, trying to be crafty, trying to be nifty with the type of ingredients that we had in the house just to get by. Now, at that time, you know, as a kid, I saw my parents' financial problems. I would actually hear conversations about, you know, how somebody wasn't able to get money because, you know, we didn't have any money. And I was always in those conversations. And as a kid, I grew up worrying about money. And this started when I was about 8 years old. I started hearing these conversations. And so as a child, I would never ask for anything. I would never ask for toys. I would never ask for candy, even though I would be out with my family and they would see that I very much wanted to buy a candy bar or I wanted to buy a specific toy. I knew not to ask because I felt like everybody had money problems and I didn't want to be an additional inconvenience to anybody. And it's really sad that I felt that at such a young age that I was a burden and people weren't allowed to buy me things because money was a problem, or I felt like money was a problem. So that's kind of my overall backstory. So obviously growing up, I wanted more money and I wished that me and my family had a lot of money to buy a nice house so that way I didn't have to get like Goodwill clothes or hand-me-down clothes, and I could get brand name clothes that some of the kids at my school were wearing. And, you know, I just didn't want to live that life. But for a very long time, I grew up in that same environment, the working class. We kind of moved up a little bit from, I would say, lower working class to maybe like the middle and higher working class, but it was still working class nonetheless. And it's really just paycheck to paycheck, getting by with what you have. So I firmly believed that money brings happiness, that if I had X amount of dollars, all of my problems would go away. And I had this mentality for years, like probably up until just 2 years ago, I had this mentality, which I'm almost in my 30s now. So that tells you something. But as I got older, I started to purposely chase after jobs, whether they were just part-time jobs or even jobs that I wanted to pursue after college. I would only pursue things if it brought me a lot of money. If I was like, wow, that's a high hourly, or wow, I have potential to make more money, I'm going to go do that. But the problem is, because I had that mentality, I would usually end up in these jobs or these situations that I actually hated, but I would stick through it because I was like, well, it pays a lot of money, or it pays enough money for me to get by. And I've had that mentality my entire life. Like, even when I started going to college, when I initially went to college, I was like, I really don't know what I wanted to do. I really liked psychology, but I was kind of being influenced to do something else because psychology degrees don't bring in a lot of money. So I was like, well, what if I became a psychiatrist? I'm like, I can go do pre-med and I can still learn psychology. And then, you know, psychiatrists make a ton of money and I'll be set. So I was firmly fixed on the idea of becoming a psychiatrist, and that did not happen. I tried taking pre-med classes and I absolutely just hated them. I didn't care for chemistry. I didn't really care for biology that much. And, you know, that's kind of the foreground of what pre-med is. And my grades were not nearly good enough to be where they needed to be to go to med school anyway. So I ended up just getting a major in psychology with a minor in biology, but I had a ton of student loan debt. So, but I only pursued that and got into that situation because I was chasing after money. I was chasing after a high ticket salary in hopes that it would bring me happiness. I'm really glad that even though I hated pre-med, I didn't pursue psychiatry in the first place, because I don't think I would have liked it. I probably would have hated it completely. But I didn't figure out what I wanted to do for a very long time after that still. But I dictated what I wanted to do off of money. So then we're going to fast forward a little bit. When the pandemic happened in 2020, I had the opportunity to start a career in real estate. Now, I was very excited for this because I knew real estate brought in a lot of money. And I'm like, wow, I can make six figures. And it was my own personal goal to make six figures by the time I turned 30, at least sometime before that. And so I started my job in real estate, and it was so much information. And it was also a lot of free time that I was losing. I had a set schedule for 5 days a week, but it was encouraged for me to answer my phone and maybe take on appointments on my days off because you didn't want to lose a sale. So it was very hustle culture mentality. And I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to make a ton of money with all of these sales. I'm going to make so much money. You know, all of my hard work's going to pay off. And, you know, I'm going to be happy once I make all of that money. So I'm not going to get into all the details, but there was just a lot of chaos in that job. It was not psychologically safe for a lot of people to work there. There were a lot of people that came and went, and it was very difficult. Very, very difficult to juggle. My personal life was being impeded on quite a bit because of this job and the whole, well, you'll make a ton of money if you make this sale. And, you know, every time I went in, I wasn't even guaranteed I was going to make a sale either, because they could change their mind, or, you know, maybe they wanted to go check out a competitor. It was very night and day. You were working to the bone. So long story short, I started getting to this point in my real estate job where I was just getting so burnt out and I was getting so tired. And I was making a lot of money at that point. The very first full year that I worked at that job, I almost made six figures. And the second full year that I worked there, I did make six figures. So I made my goal. And so my mentality while I was making this money was very interesting. And I'm going to get into the details of this a little bit. So when I started making the initial income from the sales I was making, I was like in heaven. I mean, somebody who grew up in a really low income household, who dreamed of making this much money, who dreamed of being this comfortable, was finally getting it. And I can't tell you how good that feeling felt. It was amazing. It was amazing. I was just like, finally, this is happening. Finally, my time has come and I can live and I can be happy now. And so for months on end, I started getting like thousands deposited into my bank account, and I would just watch it come in, and I was like, oh my God, this is phenomenal. Like, I was just on cloud nine. And it was just such a nice feeling to be able to go to these stores now and not have to worry about how much money is in my bank account. I can just drop my card and pay for it because I knew I had the money. I was buying iced coffee every single day. Like, I was a regular at this one coffee place. And, you know, I could drive to all these places. I could do whatever I wanted to my car and not worry about it. And God, it was just such a good feeling. Until it wasn't. And so as I started working more and more at this job, making more and more money, everything just started to feel like I was on autopilot. I wasn't thinking about what I was buying at this point. Like, I wasn't deeply thinking about things. I was working so much and I wasn't able to go out and do the things I loved, like hiking or traveling with my husband. And it was like, what was I doing all of this for again? Like, I kind of lost my meaning as to why I wanted to work so much and why I wanted to work in this job. And I just, like I said, I became very mindless. I wasn't thinking about where my money was going. And so eventually I got to a point where I became so burnt out. I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. And I also had my quarter life crisis and realized, like, my entire life, I wasn't doing what made me happy. I was just chasing after money. And so after I had this big epiphany, I quit that job. And that was when I started my own business here, like what I'm doing now. And I decided to take up some part-time jobs instead. And that was a really scary feeling to do because I was like, do I really want to walk away from this industry where I can make so much money and not worry about anything, and I could pay my bills without worrying about anything, and I could buy whatever clothes I wanted and, you know, expensive things and not worry about it? Do I want to give this up? And I did. I did, because the amount of money I was making wasn't enough to hold me to that job because it wasn't making me as happy as I thought. It wasn't. The job itself was more of a pain to me than losing six figures. Having mental sanity again and free time again was more important to me than all of that money. And so when I finally left and I had all of this free time at the very beginning, I was like, life is so quiet. Like, my mind can breathe again. I can relax. I don't have to worry about people calling me 24/7. And so I knew at this point I was going to be on a very strict income. I knew I was not going to be making a lot of money at this part-time job, and I could not drop all of the money that I wanted to like I could before. So I had to really be conscious this past year and a half about what I was purchasing. I couldn't just drop my card whenever I wanted to anymore. So I wasn't buying coffee every day. But when I did actually go to buy coffee, like if I was going to treat myself every once in a while, I just felt like I appreciated that coffee so much more than when I had the money to buy it every day. Because when I had the money to buy it every day, it was like, okay, here's my card. Thank you. Here's my coffee. I'm going to go to work. I actually could take the time to be present with my coffee and actually like taste it and enjoy it and value it because I knew I was on this strict budget. And so I started noticing this feeling like whenever I would go buy even just a basic piece of clothing, like if I needed new shoes for something, like it just felt like so good. And I felt so much more appreciative of what I was buying. And so I came to this conclusion that money certainly does not buy happiness, not long term. When I started making a ton of money, I felt comfortable. And initially, I felt happy, but I lost that. I got too comfortable and I wasn't happy anymore. And it wasn't until I left that money when I started realizing that I was happy again. I'm certainly not as comfortable as I was. I'm not deeply uncomfortable either. And I wanted to share this because, like I said, so many of us think that money will solve all of our problems, but it doesn't. I took a sociology class about 4 years ago at a community college, and I remember one of the chapters we were talking about. It was about suicide, and we were learning about what types of people are more likely to commit suicide. And the people that are more likely to commit suicide are actually rich white men. And that was interesting when I realized that. That was really interesting to think about because why would a white man who already has so much social power, on top of having all of that financial power, why would they kill themselves? Why? That doesn't make sense, right? Like they have everything. Why are they killing themselves? Shouldn't they be happy? Well, the truth is, when you have that much money, life is very lonely. Life is incredibly lonely. Because if you think about it, when you have all that money, if, you know, maybe your friends or your family catch wind of it, people start mooching you for money. Family members expect you to give them money. And you may not be able to even connect with people that don't make a lot of money. So it is a very lonely process. It is. And that's why so many rich people fill their lives with all of these expensive things, all these fancy high-ticket items, all of these fancy vacations, and all the bougie clothes. And it's to fill that void of unhappiness that they feel. And I feel like, you know, people who are born into this life don't even realize that they are unhappy, but it is. It's a very lonely, unhappy lifestyle. And that confirmed, that double confirmed for me that money certainly will not bring you happiness. I mean, even Biggie Smalls said in his song, "Mo' money, mo' problems." And it's true. I felt like when I was making more money, there was just a lot more chaos. There was a lot more drama. There was a lot more high expectations from my job placed onto me. There's a lot of pressure in that field. And when you are in those high sales jobs or those just high salary jobs in general, there is a lot of pressure that is put on you because you are making that much money. These jobs are like, well, yeah, you can make all this money, but you're going to work for it. You're going to sell your soul for it. And that's exactly what it feels like. When I was making a lot of money, I felt so disconnected from so many people. I felt so lonely and isolated. I felt like I had no real friends to turn to. And then once I finally left and I was able to get back on ground level again, it was like, man, it wasn't even worth it. Like I thought it was. It wasn't even worth it. I am grateful that I had all that money for a short period of time because without it, I wouldn't have been able to get married. And my husband and I wouldn't have been able to move into this beautiful house that we have now. And I'm grateful for that. But my health suffered, physically and mentally. My personal life suffered. At times, I wouldn't say my relationship suffered, but it was hurt every now and then. And I couldn't even take as many vacations and trips as I wanted to. And even when I did, I still had that expectation to try to make sales calls and to still answer my phone and answer questions. Like, there was no way to turn it all off for just like a week. I know money brings comfort. And I know that sounds like a very privileged thing to say, that money doesn't buy happiness, especially when so many people are in need of it right now. But if you think about it, money isn't even a real thing. Money was something that was made by people to take control, to have hierarchy. Like, if you think back all the way down to the time when Neanderthals were around, I don't think they had an economy. Like, our species before an economy, before money, we were all very connected. We took care of our families. We were very close with our families. All we had was that connection to survive. We relied on each other to live. There are people that would hunt and gather, and then there would be people that were holding down the fort at home. And then when you throw money in the mix, now all of a sudden you have this system that is controlling all of us, that is deciding how we live for us, that is deciding our happiness, deciding our mental health, our physical health, that's maybe even preventing us from those things too. Money is the system that is used to keep us powerless. Like, if you think about it, when you think about bills, I mean, what even are bills if you think about it? Like, what do you mean I owe $2,000 to somebody for my house? What do you mean I owe $50 a month for my cell phone? Like, to me personally, I feel like all of these things are basic human rights. Why are we paying for it? Healthcare especially. Healthcare, I do not understand. Like, what do you mean I can't go to the ER for like a life-threatening emergency because I can't afford to pay for surgery or I can't afford to pay for care? Like, what do you mean people have to pay to live? We have all of these tools to keep people alive and we have to pay for it? Are you serious? I encourage you to have a really deep conversation, really deep thought with yourself about money. Because when you really think about it, it does not make sense. If we didn't have money at all, if we didn't have an economy, what would we all be doing? And I feel like, yes, we would have time to enjoy ourselves, but we would also have to do things in order to survive, in order to live, right? So we would all have to pitch in like a village to work together to provide food, clothing, shelter for each other. And there would be no incentive because we all had to do that to survive, right? So why do we need money? Why do we need money? Control. It's all for control. Money does not bring long-term happiness. And I feel like it is one of those things that you may not believe or understand until it happens to you, and that's okay. But hear me out. Do not spend your whole life chasing after money. Do not waste any of your ambitions and dreams in order to make money. Do not let money have a hold on you mentally, because it can easily bring you down if you give it that power. Do what you can to get the bare minimum. Do what you can to get to a comfortable level. But do not sell your soul or your life to money, because you will not be happy. I know this episode is really deep and it can be a touchy subject for some of us, but I really encourage you to think about this for yourself. Think about why you hold such deep values and beliefs with money? Why do you hold on to the idea that you need money in order to be happy? Really ask yourself those questions, because the answers may surprise you. I think that is the end of my rant this episode. I hope you found it eye-opening. I hope you found it insightful. How I'm going to choose to be bold going forward regarding money is allowing myself to release the fear and anxiety that I hold occasionally about money. It's allowing myself to truly live in the moment with what I have, be grateful for what I have right now, and not worry about trying to get more money or more nice things or more materialism later, because that's not what life is all about. That's not what life should revolve around. It goes deeper than that. Never stop looking for that answer within yourself, and never stop questioning why you believe the things that you do. Thank you all for listening today. Stay tuned next Monday for our newest episode, and I will see you all on the next one. Peace out. And that's a wrap on another episode of Boldly You. I hope you're feeling inspired, motivated, and ready to make some bold moves in your own life. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Connect with us on social media. Share your own bold moments, your challenges, and your victories. We want to hear from you. Until next time, this is Destiny Mackey, urging you to be you and be bold.